Broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Gwinnett Business Radio here on Business Radio X. I am merely the host, Mike Salmon, alongside the great Stephen Julian. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, great Mike Salmon. How are you?
I'm great. I know we keep our shows timeless because people can listen anytime.
Correct.
But I break that rule all the time, and I'll just go ahead and say, what happened to my microphone? Just went off or something.
That's a way to break a timeless rule. I like that.
That's never happened.
Give
me your microphone, Kristen. Am I on now?
No.
Hold on.
We might.
I can hear you.
Oh, now it's back on. You jiggled it. You got to jiggle it, Mike.
I did absolutely nothing. I did nothing, and the mic went off on me.
I'm so glad we're
at
the top.
It's funny because we're talking to some of our guests before the show.
Yes.
And they said, have you ever had to go back and edit a show
yes.
because of problems? I said, no. In the 2 years that we've been doing shows,
jinxed it.
They've jinxed us.
Yes.
But should we leave that in for people that are listening to the podcast?
You know what? We'll decide that after the show.
They can say, hey, that's live radio. That's the excitement.
All I know is I'm glad you have the Fonz technique of you kind of smack the side and it's now working. I'm very impressed.
Very
impressed.
Not
that is why you're the great Mike Salmon.
Not a way I want to start a show, but we'll go with it.
There we go.
Our guest today from Civis Capital is Steve Walker, and joining us from Building Intimate Marriages. This is going to be very interesting. Michael Seitzma and Monique Wells are joining us. So it should be a fun show. But we're going to talk some banking and loans and things like that at first with Steve Walker. Steve, good morning. I hope your mic works okay. How are you today?
Good morning. About to find out.
Yeah, it sounds good. Good. Civis Capital, division of Civis Bank of Tennessee. Tell us all about Civis Capital and what your company does.
Yeah, well, Civis Bank is a community bank in rural Tennessee and about an hour outside Knoxville. And of course, I'm located in Georgia, and outside of Tennessee, we're strictly a commercial lender, an SBA lender, and we lend throughout the southeastern states, including all the way to the bottom of Florida. So a southeastern regional presence there. But you know, we're about a 100-year-old bank, originally called the Citizens Bank of East Tennessee, but it doesn't make sense to keep that name and try to broaden our reach outside the state. So Civis is actually the Latin word for citizen, so it has a little more of a flair to it.
You spent a lot of your career in the quote-unquote big bank world. Tell us what the difference is between the bigger banks out there and maybe Civis, and what attracted you to where you are today.
Yeah, I think it was the small town values and the community atmosphere that Civis has, and you know, the biggest difference is, you know, as a loan officer myself, we still communicate with a real person. And you know, so many of the big banks have gone to a centralized kind of credit scoring model, and that doesn't always work in the commercial lending world because each business is a little different. And we're able to still use our best judgment and know when to bend the rules and not be locked into just sort of the big bank cookie cutter mentality.
Steve, you handle commercial lending and outside where the bank's footprint is as a bank in Tennessee. How big of an area do you cover specifically?
Yeah, personally, I cover the whole Southeast as well. We have five loan officers total, and we're not restricted geographically. We can move around. It just depends on where our customer relationships are.
Okay, so when you talked about the reach of the loan program, you can handle all of that in the Southeast area. But let's focus specifically kind of here on Gwinnett County and Metro Atlanta. What's the need for commercial lending, and what kind of client is a good fit for Civis Capital and the lending that you do?
Well, our clients are a cross-section of it. It could be anything from a franchise restaurant. Several names are getting big in the area, like a Marco's Pizza or Firehouse Subs. We've done those types of loans from to convenience stores, hotels, just about anybody that owns their own business. We like to look at, definitely, as well as professionals and service-oriented businesses as well.
And you kind of mentioned magic words when it comes to small businesses and lending, and that's SBA. I wonder if you could, if you had a room full of business owners, and you kind of do because you're on Business Radio X, What would be some key points you would want to make sure they know before they go into an SBA loan process? What are you can cover myths if you want. You can cover, hey, let me save you hours of wasted time to kind of help them, because I think business owners hear SBA and they think that's what I got to have. That's what I need. And they're the largest lender and the best lender for small businesses. What kind of advice would you give for someone who might come in and have some preconceived notions that you want to straighten out?
Well, I think the biggest thing is if you just do a little bit of homework. One issue is everybody thinks SBA, that automatically means just a pile of paperwork. And there's some additional paperwork over and above a typical commercial loan. But if you've thought through a business plan, and even if it's not, you don't necessarily have to have a big 10-page bound plan, but if you've thought through what kind of sales you want to have next year and what type of income you want to have from that, and just a little bit of forethought, that goes a long way to helping the banker move quickly and put together a loan proposal for you.
Let me ask my one really dumb question. And by the way, we're talking with Steve Walker with Civis Capital. What's the difference between an SBA loan and a regular bank loan?
Well, the main difference is it's still a bank loan. You're still dealing with your local bank, but a part of the loan, usually 75%, is guaranteed by the Small Business Administration, part of the U.S. government. So that helps the bank stretch a little bit and maybe do some loans that they couldn't do without that guarantee. That it gives a comfort level there. Maybe the person doesn't have as long of a track record as you would like to see, or especially for a startup business. So it just sort of gets it over the hump and makes the loan doable, whereas it might not be otherwise.
Can you share some recent SBA loans that you may have worked on? And is there a particular vertical market that you kind of seem to do more of the loans with than other markets?
Well, a couple of examples are we've had a few assisted living centers lately that we've been able to refinance. They had loans coming due with a big balloon mortgage balance left on there, and we're able to give them a new loan on a 25-year amortization and really improve their cash flow. And We're doing some construction loans again. We have a convenience store operator that has about 10 stores in the area building a new store. So we're doing those. And so it's a cross-section. You know, that's a pretty broad range from a senior living center to convenience stores. So that's two examples.
What percentage of your loans and or what percentage of typical business loans for typical small business does the SBA handle? Because, and I'm assuming you do some other loans other than SBA stuff through Civis, but I'm assuming SBA is a large part of it. So
right.
Speak to that.
Well, for us, for Civis right now, we're 100% SBA lending on the commercial side. So that's all we do. And that, that may change going into 2015. We may broaden back out a little, but right now we're 100% government guaranteed, but that also includes USDA lending, but that's not as big of a factor here in Metro Atlanta, but we do see some of those as well.
And as the economy has been improving over the last 5 years, it should be noted that when things were at their bleakest, you know, the SBA was a major savior, and so that's nice to be able to say, hey, that's 100% of what we're doing, and it's just been a good way to help build business. So let me ask this. What do you see moving forward? Both for Civis, you kind of hinted maybe there's some things other than SBA, but what do you see moving forward for Civis? And also, what do you see moving forward for some of your relationships here locally and what you're hoping to get introduced to and what you're looking to do even beyond what you've been doing?
Well, what we're seeing, I think there's a feeling that the economy is maybe a little better than it was
just
2 years ago.
but
nothing, you know, definitely not back to where we were in, say, 2005, 2006 time frame. But we're probably, we're going to stick with the SBA lending model for at least another year and kind of see how things do, especially since we're lending outside of our home base in Tennessee. It's an additional comfort level and helps us be able to still do a lot of loans that we wouldn't be able to do.
And clearly you see the need both here locally and then in the Southeast, like you said. What, Mike asked, are there kind of vertical markets you focus on? Are there new markets you're hoping to get into? You know, what are the, who are the people you need to be introduced to that you're kind of looking and saying, there's a real need there and I can fill that need?
Well, we're seeing a lot of interest in franchise, franchise-type businesses. And, of course, you know, a lot of people think about restaurants, and we do a fair number of those. But other things as well. You know, there's chiropractic chains that are moving into a franchise model, and that's a lot of people that are either retiring or moving out of their corporate jobs that have good business experience and maybe want to get started in their own business. We're seeing a lot of interest in that now.
Steve, what is the range of loans that you guys offer? I mean, how big, how small do you go?
You know, on the small end, generally around 100 to 150,000, all the way up to, you know, 2.5-3 million.
It's so quite a range. Yeah.
Mike, of course, the larger ones, it's usually a real estate-based loan where they own their own building. But, a pretty good range.
Mike, when he said 100 to 150, were you thinking
$100?
I wanted to make sure and clarify that. So
no, 100,000. Do you guys have a brick-and-mortar location?
No, not in Georgia. We're only in the East Tennessee area, Knoxville, and 3 or 4 counties there.
It's amazing in these days with the technology that you can, you know, obviously do business, but obviously you save costs as well and able to offer, you know, better services at lower prices.
Definitely.
Well, Steve, for those that would like to find out more about Civis Capital and have been, you know, heard what you said and think, you know, maybe this guy can, this company can help me out and help my company, help my business. How can they find out more? How can they reach out to you?
Well, my phone number, my email address is all you need. It's 678-551-0231. And by email, you can reach me at swalker@civiscapital.com. And that's C-I-V as in Victor, I-S, Civis Capital.
Website again, civiscapital.com. And, you know, how quickly can loans, I know it's a different economy than just as we talked about 5-10 years ago. How quickly can loans be turned around these days?
24 hours. Oh, sorry. That was
that's
me. Sorry, Steve.
Maybe title max. Yeah, a couple hours. Generally, once we get a complete loan application package, we can usually have a, you know, a preliminary commitment to the customer within 3 or 4 business days. And then the total processing time generally for an SBA loan, if there's real estate involved, you know, you're looking at probably 4 to 6 weeks, but a little longer than with a home mortgage. But on a franchise loan, you know, something shorter than that, there's not as much legwork involved
And isn't it nice to know that you've got a relationship? You know, just go back to your very first question, Mike. You know, here's a regional bank with a footprint here in Atlanta, and someone like Steve walking you through and making sure everything gets done. I think that's obviously the key selling point is relationship.
Definitely. Yeah.
Steve Walker with Civis Capital here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Steve, thanks for joining us today.
Great. Thank you.
All right, Steve. Our next guest on the program come to us from Building Intimate Marriages, Dr. Michael Seitzma and Monique Wells. Dr. Mike is the founder and senior therapist, and Monique Wells is the senior female therapist. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us. Oops. Microphones this morning are just not working right. Actually, that was operator error.
Oh, it wasn't. You didn't need to do the Fonz thing again?
No, not that time.
Okay.
Tell us all about building intimate marriages.
Well, Building Intimate Marriages is a private practice for working with marriages, obviously, that are maybe struggling or wanting to grow to enrich their marriage. And our focus.
Nobody has those problems these days.
Yeah, you're not like you have a hard time finding clients.
Swiddling your thumbs all day long.
Definitely. And part of what we do is help couples who come in and say, yeah, we've got a pretty good marriage, we'd like to grow a particular area, or they may be coming in saying there's one arena, like this time of year dealing with the in-laws or dealing with extended family, how do we help sort through it, finances, or they may be really struggling as a couple and we're helping them to kind of put their marriage back together. And Monique's even specialty is, you know, couples walking in who are pretty much done but want to give it another shot.
And I think it's interesting that, Monique, that your title that you put down is senior female therapist, because I would think some people maybe they want to talk to a female as opposed to a male. That comes into play sometimes.
Yes, it does, especially women who feel that they may not have had a voice in their marriage or in other relationships feel very comforted by sitting with a female. So it's helpful.
I found it very interesting, Dr. Mike. You said that, you know, it's people that also have healthy marriages, but they want to maybe work on this. So it's not just people that are having maybe issues or broken marriages that you can help.
Correct. In fact, part of the specialty for our practice is each one of us are trained or certified in sex therapy. And so many of the couples who are coming in to see us are working in an arena or asking for help in that particular part of their marriage. So we may be problem solving or just helping them to enrich.
What makes your company unique?
Probably that. Two different aspects of it. There are a number of marriage and family therapists all around Atlanta and around the Southeast, but that we are all specially trained in working in sex therapy is part of what makes our practice unique. And then that we all come from a faith-based biblical Christian kind of values. So we already hit the licensure that would be a part of the state and bringing in the faith-based and then those specialty certifications make our practice kind of unique in the Southeast.
So let me ask, you know, you talked about a little bit of the specialty with the sex-based therapy. What makes that different? I guess, is it that a lot of other people aren't as specialized in that? Or is it that, and let me also ask, is that a growing need that people are seeing? Hey, a lot of the other parts of our marriage are okay, but we see that if we don't focus on this, that it could turn into other things and cause other problems. Why is that such a specialty for you guys? Why did you guys choose to focus on that specialty?
A lot of it comes for... And I think each of us would have our own story on why we moved into that arena. But for me, it comes from wanting to work with wherever people are hurting. And I don't know that it's unique or new for people to be hurting in the sexual arena of their marriage. Some of the research has suggested that 80% of couples at some point in their marriage meet the criteria for truly benefiting from sex therapy. For example, sexual desire is one of the major conflicts that couples have. And how frequently are we going to engage in sexual intimacy? How often are we going to? And what does that look like? I think that has always been a source of pain for couples. And part of what drew me into it is working with couples, hearing them wrestle with it. And so going back and getting the training to truly help them. So my doctoral dissertation, for example, is in sexual desire discrepancy in married couples. And if we look back through history, it seems like the pain has always been there. I think what's different in today's age is with the sexualization of our society and being much more open to talking about sex, seeing it more openly on TV, on the internet, in media, a lot of times the unrealistic expectation has been set pretty high. And so couples start to compare what they see in the media with what's happening in their home, and they've been given license to talk about it because it's more open to talk about it. So I think couples are fighting about it at a higher level of intensity than maybe they did, you know, when I started doing this work. And the other advantage is there's a little bit more openness to seeking us out for help. So if I go back 20 years ago when I started doing this, people weren't as open to coming and talking to me. You know, it's we don't have those problems. We won't talk about those problems. We're definitely not going to talk about them with a professional. And today it's, I think it's more accepted to come in and say, hey, there are experts that can help us do know what to do.
It is very interesting that we've gone as a culture from it wasn't really talked about at all, to now we talk about it so much that it's created unrealistic expectations, and so it's almost like a new source of issues. Monique, what Dr. Mike said, you know, everybody's kind of got their own unique story. What do you see in kind of the same area of sex therapy and helping people?
I work with a lot of marriages in crisis and coming out of affair recovery. And that area is often the last and hardest area to get back. And when someone has been hurt or offended in that way, it's very difficult to restore not impossible. We've walked through restoring that with couples. But the fact that they've not had someone to talk that part out with, it continues to be a wounding part in their marriage. And so having the ability and the language and the knowledge to help even create safety in that part of their relationship after there's been some level of hurt and pain is really valuable.
As we do this show today, and people listen to these shows all the time, but as we sit here today, we're following Thanksgiving, we're getting ready for Christmas. So the holidays, it's a crazy time. You've got people going in all directions. What can couples do during these busy times of the year to stay connected? What recommendations would you give?
Oh, I think number one is to be really intentional. We don't ever plan to fail, but we certainly fail to plan. And if we don't set aside time to connect with our spouse, January 1 will be here and we will wonder where our spouse has been. With the demands of family and children and school and work and good grief with all the sickness that our children are experiencing, I've been up for the last 3 nights. You know, if we don't take effort to connect with our spouse and plan time for a coffee, it doesn't have to be anything elaborate, even just a conversation at home, to create some sort of expectation of what you want this season to look like is really, really important. I think the gift of no is really important. Being able to say no to some things is really helpful. Don't say no without your spouse's permission on that, because you'll end up saying no to something your spouse was really looking forward to. But come to some sort of an agreement of what you're going to commit to and say no to some things.
Part of what's beautiful about this time of the year are the traditions that we engage in. And a lot of those traditions are family traditions or traditions for children. And it may be that we do a tradition about hiding an elf or baking cookies or whatever the family tradition is. And those traditions are critical. They're part of what hold us together. But I strongly encourage couples to develop traditions as well, because the kids are going to be a part of their marriage for a significant period of time, but then the kids leave and it's still the married couple. And have they developed traditions that are just theirs? Do they do a special Christmas date? Or do they have a special way that they exchange gifts to each other, or that they give each other an ornament each year? Or it doesn't have to be, as Monique was saying, a huge tradition, but any kind of tradition helps to pull a couple together. And this time of year is rich for developing traditions, but most couples don't do anything that celebrate them as husband and wife during this time of year. So we encourage them to do those types of behaviors as well.
You know, Mike, they're very good, because when you asked that question, my answer was going to be lock myself in the closet in the dark and just hide out. But I'm going to do that. That's really good.
Well, if your wife is with you, it's okay.
That's sex therapy, too.
That's
I like
right.
That. Okay,
good. New tradition.
Yeah.
We love to cover all the bases.
So here's the question I was going to ask. You mentioned that you guys come at this from a faith-based perspective. And I think when you say those words, there is a wide gamut of reaction to the word faith-based. Some people come and embrace it quickly. Other people have bad experiences with the word faith-based. Mm-hmm. So unpack that word and what it means to you guys and to your clients and to people walking in the door who either would respond to that positively or negatively.
Probably an example might fit pretty well. A couple coming in and sitting across from me saying, we understand that you're trained as a pastor, that you worked as a pastor. We understand that's an important part of who you are, but we've also read your stuff online. We've seen the interviews with you. We think you can help, but we don't believe in any of that faith stuff. Can you still help us? And my response to them is always, well, of course, because the principles that work in a marriage work. Because I come at it from a faith base doesn't mean that you have to accept a faith base in order for these principles that research and science has shown us works to still come into play. I think the advantage to them that I am faith-based is it gives some pretty strong boundaries and creates a safety, that there are some things that I hold to be true. I do believe in the sacredness of marriage. That doesn't mean that all marriages are supposed to survive, But I do believe in it, and I'm going to fight for it because that's a part of the nature of who I am. It's part of my belief system, part of the ethos that I bring. And even couples who aren't faith-based love that their therapist has that type of a boundary, that they know that I have values that I'm not willing to compromise on, even though they don't need to hold those same kind of values. Couples that come in with the faith base, of course, it provides a protection for them because they know that those values may be ones that they share. Not always, but often they are. And part of being a effective therapist is being open to your clients challenging that and saying, well, we don't believe in this particular thing. That's fine. You don't have to. These are still the principles that we know from research are going to work. So I think it provides a strong foundation that whether a client is faith-based or not is kind of protective for them. And definitely it wouldn't be that we're imposing any of it on them. That's a critical part of the ethics for what we do as therapists. And it's part of the reality of us as humans is if I push somebody, just in their humanity, they're going to push back. That's part of what we're dealing with married couples. And so to step in and do that as a therapist, to push somebody to accept something, is usually not going to work at all.
We're having a discussion with Michael Seitzma and Monique Wells. They are with Building Intimate Marriages, and you're listening to Gwinnett Business Radio. You mentioned early on in the show one of the big issues, I guess, that you see a lot is the sexual discrepancy. I'm assuming, you know, one wants it more than the other, typically probably she, and he's like, leave me alone, let me watch my football game or something.
Oh,
I
totally.
Don't.
Yeah, okay. That's what we see all the time.
See, I know my stuff a little bit. But what are some of the other things? I would think money is always a big thing that separates people. What are some of the more common traits that you see when the marriages are starting to break down a little bit and you've got to try to help restore them?
Before I answer that, let me go back to your joke. And because that is one of the major...
Wait. Mike told a joke?
I got last in the room.
Okay, sorry.
That is one of the common things that is walking in the office. And the assumption, because I think in a lot where the media is that men are the ones who always want sex more. And they tend to be putting pressure on their wives. And in about 80% of couples, that would be true. And this comes from cross-cultural studies. So it doesn't matter if we're looking at a tribe in some faraway country or looking at a subculture here in Atlanta. 80% of the time, the husband is the higher desire individual in the relationship. But what that means
is... I actually thought it was the other way around.
What it means is 1 in 5 times, the wife is the higher desire individual, that she's the one that's seeking it out. And often in those couples, because the dominant kind of message is that the husbands, that men are the ones who tend to want sex most, the couples that are coming in where she is desiring it more often... they really wonder if something's broken, if something's wrong, if something's not healthy in them. So we like to point out very quickly that, no, that's not at all abnormal, whichever way it goes. It adds some uniquenesses to it. But couples where the wife is the higher desire are not abnormal couples.
Okay. And some of the other things that are common that you might see coming through your doors?
We see a lot of communication, obviously. That one shows up all the time.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. You were saying?
Yeah, good example.
That wasn't a joke. That's what's happened.
Family issues, parenting, work, disconnect, just not having enough time for one another. Hearing more and more, you know, I just don't love my spouse. I'm not in love with my spouse anymore. I like them. I love them. I'm just not in love with them.
Monique, I hate to interrupt, but let me ask you this. I mean, modern technology today with Facebook and Twitter, how has that affected relationships? I would sometimes think that might get in the way of people think they're communicating through Facebook, but there's less of the face-to-face. But how is technology, do you see that ever creeping its ugly head into some of the relationships you're trying to help?
All the time.
But we text 50 times a day. That's communicating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, we see a gamut of different things. I think one of the things with Facebook that I have seen an increase of, actually, infidelity. People reconnecting with old flings or loves. Also, a thing called Facebook depression, where you look at all of your friends and their lives and you think, well, mine is not just as happy and as fun as theirs, or my spouse is not doing all those things for me. So there's a lot of comparison that takes place. Also, as you know, you cannot have true relationship through a machine. There is so much more in the face-to-face and in the contact with someone.
I've got a question, and we're going to go a little therapy session here, Stephen, if that's okay. But I see a lot. Some
for
folks,
the two of you.
Yeah. Oh, you have no idea.
We'd be here all day.
We've done that many times.
Yeah, trying to figure
people
out
who aren't
Stephen.
Licensed. We've done that with, right, Mike?
But my question is, getting back on subject, please, is, you know, speaking of Facebook, I see some folks and all they do on Facebook and some of the other social media platforms is devout their love to their spouse, how much they love. And it's almost too much. It's overwhelming sometimes. Is there maybe there an insecurity in those relationships when they're almost overboard? I mean, I know this is a strange question.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to know what's going on at home. Like,
everybody's different.
If they are saying all of that online,
I think it's
but
great,
that's not
but
showing up
every,
at home.
Every day, it's like, okay, enough. I know you love her, and you know, and he's the greatest husband or greatest, but come on already.
Well, I compare it to sugar. If you have too much of that, it makes you sick after a while. So that gushingness kind of can do that for me. But if the home is different to what is on a site, that really just doesn't work.
I didn't know if maybe they're overcompensating and they really hate each other.
Well,
I don't know.
Going back to the time of year where we are, I think in past cultures or in past generations, there have been comedy bits written about getting Christmas cards and reading the Christmas letters of all your friends. And I can't remember. I've been sitting over here racking my brain to think of the movie or the show where the family, you know, drinks some wine and just laughs at all the Christmas letters they get. Well, we now have that all year round on Facebook. And I think, and you talked about the comparison. And I think Facebook is a wonderful tool to stay connected. It can be anything can be dangerous if you let it become dangerous. And
right.
The way it becomes dangerous is it replaces personal contact and,
right.
and the things you've talked about that you've seen are issues, right?
Right, yeah. If without that face-to-face or that interaction that we were actually made for, we were made for relationships. And so if we don't have that,
And I think you guys, I've been sitting over here listening to all these things, and Mike asked a great question about what are the other things beyond sex therapy and finances and things like that. It really comes down to work. Relationships take work, and I guess you guys see yourself as the coaches. I mean, am I oversimplifying it by saying that?
No, I think that'd be pretty accurate. And I think Monique said it, there has to be an intentionality. In my language for couples is we choose where we're going to fail. Nobody can succeed everywhere. I've read a study that said if we did everything we're supposed to every day, it would take 36 hours a day. So clearly we can't get everything done. And so we have to choose where I'm going to fail every day. And many times for us as businessmen, we just know we have to stay focused on work. We have to be doing what we need to do to bring in the next paycheck. And it's easy for us to inadvertently choose to fail at home. Because our kids are pretty important to us, they'll slip in a little bit more. We may take some time off to go and make sure that we get to their soccer game. But our marriage, we kind of take for granted. And, you know, the old adage, what we feed grows, what we starve dies. And if we continually starve our marriage, then it doesn't take very long before it's starting to die on us. And we have to be intentional. And I choose to fail as a businessman for this period of time because I need to succeed as a husband. And often nobody is challenging us to do that. Nobody's challenging us to look at why we're avoiding our spouse or why we're not choosing to fail in a different arena to feed our marriage for a while. And that is part of what we do is help put spotlight on it and say, can we look at that? Can we spend a little bit of time and get creative in how to feed that arena? And sometimes it is as simple as putting something on Facebook and saying, you know, I need to remind myself that I love my spouse because today I may not like them very much, but I'm going to tell the world that I do, and that helps to reinforce it to me.
I think, too, in our jobs, we have a lot of continuing ed that we have to do, a lot of extra training that we have to do. But we don't necessarily apply that to our relationships. And there is a lot of really great marriage retreats and marriage conferences that are available to add to our marriage. We think with the marriage ceremony, we really don't have to learn anything else to make our relationship stronger and more alive. And we just don't make that investment. So maybe a great Christmas present for your spouse is a marriage retreat, something fun and something interactive, and learn something new.
Well, Dr. Mike and Monique, as we wrap up the interview, it's not just you two. You've got a full team over there at Building Intimate Marriages. Tell us about your team real quick.
Correct. Monique and I, of course, as the senior therapist, but we also have Corey Carlisle, male, and he works a lot with sexual addiction. He works a lot with porn addiction, and works a lot with men, and is a licensed marriage and family therapist and a certified sex therapist. Kelly Willard, who is a licensed marriage and family therapist and certified sex therapist, who loves working with women, loves working with sexual pain disorders. Beth Leonard, who is kind of newest in our team, and she is still working towards her license, but is a really, truly gifted counselor in working with couples and with individuals, working with women. Her clients just really love her. And then each year we bring in at least two interns, and these are students that are coming in, and we train them in the models that we're working with. They're all studying to be either licensed professional counselors or licensed marriage and family therapists, and they're all trained in sex therapy. And they come in and can see clients as low as $10 a session. So it makes the therapy very affordable. And right now we've got Travis and Haley, our two great therapists that are working with us as students.
Some quick questions as well. Is there a consultation fee up front or anything like that? If someone's not sure if they need help or not, is there a cost to come talk to you at first to see if they should follow up with more help, or how does that work?
Usually our when they call in, they're going to talk to Christy, Christopher, or Tamisha, and they will help them to sort through, you know, is this a good fit for them and which therapist is going to be a good fit for them.
So that can be done over the phone.
All that's done over the phone. We encourage them to go online and read our bios to check out who we are. Then when they come in for the session, there is a session fee.
Because I guess if they're that far along, they know there's some issues, and if they're actually, you know, looking for someone like yourself.
Correct.
Great. For those that want to find out more, by the way, does insurance cover this sometimes? Or?
Often it does.
Okay.
We're not part of any of the network, so it would be out of network. And yet we give them a receipt that has all of the numbers that they need. They submit that, and clients will get anywhere from, depending on their business plan, from a little bit to full coverage.
Okay.
And we can help them to sort through that part of it, too.
Great. For those that want to find out more about Building Intimate Marriages, where can they find out more information?
Probably the best is at our website, intimatemarriage.org, and they can learn about the services that we offer, as well as there is a whole section called Try This at Home, and they can download handouts and worksheets and just sit down as a couple and see if they can't get started with some things. And then they'll come in and say, okay, we got through these three steps, and now we're stuck. And we'll help coach them past that point as well.
Very useful website then. Great. Dr. Michael Seitzma and Monique Wells from Building Intimate Marriages. It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's our show for today. A quick reminder that you can enjoy this program or any of our other Gwinnett Business Radio programs anytime, day or night, 24/7, by visiting gwinnettbusinessradio.businessradiox.com. Also, be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Gwinnett Radio X. For Steve and Julian.
Mike, you never appreciate me. I'm just kidding. Mike, I appreciate you very much, and thank you very much for being a good friend.
Glad to be there for you. I'm Mike Sam. I got no jokes.
Yeah. I stumped him.
I've got a lot of jokes, but
victory for me.
Yes. I'm Mike Salmon. Go ahead.
Hit the side of the screen and let's end this show, right?
Yeah,
hit the side.
Do the Fonzarelli thing again.
There you go.
All right, we'll see you next time, we hope, here on Gwinnett Business Radio.